This topic of like being online, offline, what is kind of sustainability for the artwork is very important for us and for the artists too. Our vision for the archive is like live presence.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like going always live. It preserves the works maybe more than just to put them on shelves and hide them.
We are live. Okay, so welcome back, dear viewers. these are our new guests, Anti-War Coalition, and if you want to, just introduce yourself super briefly. And
my name is Alexander Komarov. I'm artist. I was actually living in Netherlands for 10 years and studying also in Amsterdam before I moved to Berlin, and now I'm in Berlin 10 years already. And I'm coming from Belarus, and with our colleagues, after the war in Ukraine started, we decided quickly that we have to do something. So that was the beginning of our kind of collaborations and beginning of this platform, antiwarcoalition.art.
I'm Maxim Timenko. I'm an artist, curator, web developer, and so, yeah, already for some time I live in Amsterdam. I studied in Germany, but I came from Ukraine and Belarus, so it was really kind of complicated story. Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Okay, thank you. So before starting with questions and kind of asking you maybe about your practices, I wanted to explain a bit the setup, because this is our pop-up studio. So we decided actually to make it interactive and up to the people that are, you know, participating in this, like us and also viewers, to be able to interact with this very simple but also, you know, available setup. So we have three cameras. So that one, the webcam that you can see here, and you can see there is camera one, camera two. Camera three now is not available, but you can switch on them and like change and like cut, but now we have this. So it's a bit of a trick also for me. Okay, because we also like can change from here, right? Okay. So yeah, we can switch. You can also try. The only thing is, you know, this is off limits, but this 1, 2, 3 auto and cut, it's for experimenting. So you can.
So it's a little bit like resemble the real studio with the cameras, close ups, and.
Yeah, sure. Because also it's about trying to bring the off screen and the backstage on the stage. You know, like we like this aesthetic of, you know, like showing what's behind the post production, and also it's like a live production. So it's of course, like, we can take this material, we are storing it, but the main thing is to make it kind of an happening and also performance in a way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so just feel free if you want to switch from a camera to the other. Yeah, like actually, if you want to have some kind of request and you would like to display some work from your archive, it's, you know, totally free. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we can, after this, if you have any questions, Tomas is the best person to ask to. But yeah, it's very simple.
So, maybe.
You want to say something?
No.
No, but I will ask you really, really quickly. So I prepared some questions for you, because actually, like, I'm really interested in what you do. And exactly, you said, like, war in Ukraine struck, and then we felt that we needed to do something. And this happened also to me on kind of a aftermath level, because I'm from Italy, so, you know, like, war in Ukraine, of course, I was sad, but it was really far away. And then I moved to Poland, in Krakow, and I started to be part of this collective that's called Ukraina TV, and they did exactly the same. But I think, like, Anti-War Coalition is even started before actually war in Ukraine. So it's a response in a second moment. But what like really interested me, and I would like you, you know, to speak maybe more widely about your practices, but also really specific, is this way that you treat your, you know, archive and website and platform, not just like a place to store data and material, but also a kind of a forum, aggregation point, and kind of place to people to be together, to do something, to act. And this really activist side of your, you know, work is really interesting for me, and I would like to investigate more if you want to, you know, talk more about that.
Yeah, so basically we started from a little bit different project. We were working on a project for alternative pavilion of New Belarus for biennial last year, and then in February we realized that Russian invasion happened, and we kind of like were so frustrated. And moreover, then Belarus was involved in that. So Belarus was involved, and for us, kind of connect people who are somehow connected to Belarus, it was really a shock, and we couldn't believe that happened. And of course, we couldn't kind of like think about new Belarus, some other projects. We wanted to quit, to stop, to completely like be silent. And then we thought like it's not possible to be silent in this moment. And so we kind of like started to think what we can do. And we already developed by the time some platform. Also the project was a little bit like structurally similar to that. We wanted to make a online platform, video platform, and distribute it, and so on and so on. And then we thought like, okay, we can use the infrastructure we already had and change it completely and use it for the other purpose. And we thought like we want to, because it's very difficult for artists to react on something very rapidly, especially this kind of like so like the event happened so strong, so kind of like unbelievable. So for many artists, it's kind of, it was really difficult to say something. And we thought like we will provide to the artists infrastructure which will help them to share their thoughts and their messages, and to give the platform to them to speak up and support Ukrainians and being loud and kind of not only thinking about the war as a informational stream, but actually what we wanted, that it's kind of like real emotional stream, a stream of emotions. And so we like the online platform, and we started open call for artists, and we invited artists whom we know. But then we thought like it's not our purpose to just make it online, just to kind of stay in the browser. Our idea is to really go offline, and so the platform for us is just kind of like a depository where we store the materials and we can use everywhere. And as here, like for instance, we just put some different monitors and put the video works from our platform.
Yeah, if you want to maybe explain better your installation, if you want to talk about also that for. I didn't want to interrupt you. It's just.
I know. about the installation. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that you are displaying now in the hall.
Yeah, I kind of like finish my thing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then Alexandra will continue. So our purpose and our goal was, and we kind of like up till now is using online platform as a tool for going offline, for going to public spaces. We wanted to to show these works and emotions, artistic expressions and artistic messages to the public, not only in the white boxes of art spaces, but everywhere we can do. So it's our goal and purpose. So Alexander?
Yeah, so the exhibition here is called Are You Here With Us? And this is a real questions to the this public. Sometimes when you like present such a platform and your public is also, there is no like alternative, like a feedback immediate. So it's something like unknown audience. It's like a radio. You don't know if it's what is, where it will come up, how far it is, can reach other audience. So for us, it was very important to be here and be like in this kind of media discourse, also to show that there is a feedback, and we're personally here inside of this kind of strong institutions, which is Collect and Talk About Media. And I'm very glad that we are here doing this podcast, because it's also showing that we're like present and there is like something which you can have a real feedback. And this installation show like a artist mix from Dutch, Ukrainian, Belarusian artist, and they, like we're selecting them often if that's thematic or something like the message in their videos, in their work and statements correspond to these situations, to this formal aspects of the, like let's say the context of the where it shows and how it shows. Sometimes it also depends on the if it's a vertical video or like a horizontal, how long it is. It's based on a lot of things, like taken in considerations, and how much space we have. And with this, we're also trying to help artists. Like another our missions also, because the artworks is difficult to produce. So we are like a very we have a kind of small donations or budget which we can dedicate to the from the showing works to the artists themselves. In this way, we can try to sustain their also practice, because it's like in the time of war, a lot of artists they can't work, they can't produce, they can't editing. So we like offering also like a very fresh, sometimes very segmented work, sometimes the sketches. So it's not something which is like a go through like very strong commissions where everybody has to check it. So it is very like a spontaneous message. And this message we wanted to activate and say that this is also important, and it's also very like necessary to hear, because it's coming exactly from this time, sometimes places where it's, for us it's far away, but there is a real present of these people. So this is experience is very important to distribute. And that's why for us it's also very important to be in these institutions around and promote this, to make these people closer to the world. So make us also closer to this war line, let's say.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's so kind of also emotional for me to hear you say this, because I see a mirror in a way, like the practice we do at Ukraina TV, and also now with Void, you know, this giving kind of a space and a voice, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would like to come back to this because I also noted some words that you are quoting in your website, like you're talking about trauma and empathy and this kind of connection, that it's what in a way makes a person that lives far away from Ukraine, or like, you know, for I really understood that the geographical like distance makes a lot of difference, even in the hyper communication media, like presence, messaging. Like if you don't have a strong connection with that place, you can be sorry as you are sorry for all the wars in the world, but it's not that you're engaged with that. And us being here and what you mentioned about, you know, going offline, we before talked about this, like how to engage with the people that are seeing the live, but in a way we decided that it's important kind of to give priority in this case to this kind of presence, you know, to this human connection that we also kind of lost with COVID and with, you know, benefits and not benefits of the internet. But I also wanted to ask you other like two questions connected to the database. Like the first one is, where do you store your like data? Like, do you have like, because, you know, for us, we store them on mainstream platforms. So Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, we use different, but this is kind of endangering the data because on one way it's, you know, can be censored and then you can lose it. And on the other way, you're giving money to big corporations that you don't agree with. So it's always kind of a struggle between, okay, can I be founded by an institution and have my private like servers and where do I store that? So this is a question, like, where do you store your data?
Yeah. Distribute it everywhere.
No, it's actually very simple. We had to do it quickly and we couldn't do a kind of complicated stuff. So we decided to use Vimeo as our like platform. And so we have just account there. And the account is kind of hidden. We don't want to make it appearing on Vimeo. But it's there and we use it, and yeah, we pay them, of course, but I mean
it's a little bit more complicated. So you wrote a program.
No, of course, that like everything is like we have a database and everything.
Collect.
Yeah, but still we use already existing infrastructure, which is cheaper, quicker than develop something which we can do like ourselves. Yeah, and we don't consider, at least it's my personal opinion, some colleagues of mine are not agree with me, but I don't see our platform as an archive. So I personally don't think that it's necessary to think about like sustainability of this data, and it should be like, and it's kind of in the moment. We need it now, it's tool, and we need it and we show it. And we don't really, because we also don't have any restrictions, kind of quality or like bit rates or whatever for the artists. So we get such different content and we don't care. So we don't care about the, you know, we're not archiving stuff. It's still there, of course, you can, researchers go there and you can check, but we don't have a lot of data, which normally, if you're archiving it, so we just have this basic name and name of the work. We wanted to make it so as simple as possible mm-hmm. for the artist, because we know artists hate this documentation and like kind of, because we artists ourselves, we know that it's kind of like pain in the ass to go through these forms and filling some data. And
this, for example, just one. This is the, for example, work of an artist and from Ukraine, and it's called Stop Mine, and that's exactly the minefield, sorry, where you cannot go inside. And so this is kind of video also coming to our collections because it's like showing exactly that's so this present, so the artist itself is like in danger, basically. It's like real standing in front of this minefield and step link left, right. It's good, of course, can be a disaster. So it is kind of urgency, and we're trying to show it. Then it's a real, and it's not just in kind of, far away media exploited content, which was a lot of flashy images and kind of internet, but also something very simple and minimal, which doesn't show blood and destructions and fight, but you can imagine there is like the field which is totally polluted, and also with the mines it will probably be uninhabited or something. Sorry to disturb this.
Do you want to
okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
In reaction to this video that we were watching and what you were talking about, I was wondering regarding being at like physical risk, like this artist was in front of the minefield. Has there been any like repercussions regarding your platform since it has like a politically charged content that's obviously also referring to like a I don't know if this is the right term, but politically precarious situation maybe. Yeah, has there been any threats? What has the feedback been?
I mean, some of our members still don't announce their names on the platform, also the ones who are developing the platform, because it is, there is a student with the ones who is living in Belarus. It's impossible to be publicly speak, so to say, because it's a consequences, of course, it's a prison. And also, like, many others. It's because we're like fortunate that we're living here, that we can speak loud, but also some of our family is still there, so it's everybody taking risk anyway. So it's a very like personal, who cannot, it's a very like human to understand, because it's just, there is people have families and older people living there, and they want to travel sometimes, and or they live there inside of the country and they can't. So.
Okay. Understandable.
But it's not maybe that. It's not on the blacklist yet. So let's say it. So there is. I don't see that we are like because like in Belarus, for example, there is like a EU, all organizations which is like a free or democratic, they're putting on a kind of blacklist, so there is like it's forbidden, and they are considered as a kind of terrorist groups or organizations, so then they are like forbidden to exist, and then of course the members of this or like newspapers or like bookstores or any kind of organizations, NGOs, they are not allowed to exist. That means also that they are like they can be persecuted. Yeah.
But we are not
like that. We are not yet. Not so much reclama yet.
Okay. Yeah. I know a bit about this actually. I want to say hi to my friends in Ukraine and also in Krakow now, and Ksenia, she's also from Belarus, she's also part of our team, yeah. And she's also an activist, so she's in the situation that you are literally like saying right now, that she can't go back, and her family took the risk because, you know, they support this, but it's very unfair, and I really I don't know, I have a lot of also emotions towards this. And the other question I wanted to ask you, it's related also to this thing you explained, because you said we are not an archive, you know, and I think we could talk about this for hours, because also the hosts we had before, they were very into the archive indeed, so it's also a nice of a shift and a different kind of perspective. And we are also doing research on expanded publishing, so how to publish online, on different medium, but also offline, as you said. And I don't know if, maybe I'm not the best person to explain this, maybe Tommaso you can just briefly, and then I will ask you what's your vision on this, and if you see yourself doing something similar, like how do you, will you explain the expanded publishing research?
I think you did already most of the work. I guess maybe for this it makes sense to introduce the fact that we are all researchers from the Institute of Network Culture. Wait, let's put the camera then. The Institute of Network Culture is a research center based in Amsterdam, and we have a long trajectory on experimental publishing, digital publishing, and what we are trying to look at now. Sorry, I'm gonna. This is part of the live. This is mic two. Okay. It was very loud. Yes, that's a bit also the idea of expanded publishing. The idea of like bringing both analog and digital, and try to come from the perspective of publishing, like you know, book publishing and expand it to something that is not only in formats, not only, you know, like a multimedia publication, a video, but also in forms, also in the way in which you create the publication itself. In some way, we kind of define this as a sort of publication. Mm-hmm. And I think it relates a lot to what you were saying, right? It's not an archive, it's a stream.
Yeah,
this is a stream, exactly, right? It's an idea of like, there is an urgency, then the urgency is about both communicating something, but also being together. And this is kind of, this is an event, mm-hmm. right? And the idea is that there is a speaker there and a potential public. Yeah. There is a, but this
yeah,
then,
public there.
Exactly, right? And then the audio go back inside the live and it goes, so in that sense, like, we do consider this as a publication, as we do consider some or the archiving processes as well as publications. So in that sense, it's a very blurry. I think I think we have a lot of similarities in the approach of the two.
Actually, like we haven't been kind of spending quite a lot of time with Alexander talking about like. Some years even ago, talking about how do you actually archive the digital or media art, which is kind of like sounds like absurd idea because like media like digital, it's you can't put it under the glass kind of like vitrine and thinking that in 10 years you will open it up and it will still work. You know, all the formats are gone, all the codecs are kind of like somewhere. Nobody can open this black box and kind of know anything. Some archives, they spent tons of money to kind of like reproduce the old equipment or whatever. But actually there is a very nice idea, just don't, you don't have to archive the artifacts, but you archive the meaning or you archive the spirit of the artwork, and then you don't need to kind of like this hardware, exactly the same hardware in 20 or 100 years to reproduce it because you can't get it. But you can re-translate it, re-interpretate the work so the essence of the work will be still the same. It's kind of the same as in music. They have musical notations, and then the I don't know, like Mozart is played now, and everybody understands that this is exactly the same piece of music than it was back then. And nobody cares if it's the same instruments which is used for reproducing this. So media art and media itself, it's very, very close to that kind of concept that actually I believe that they should not be dependent on the equipment, on the contemporary equipment, but they should be just like using it as a kind of temporary temporary solution to be in show.
Very much agree.
And I think also to add to this, what Maxim said, it's like the I'm totally agreed, and this is similarity about publishing, because we also like sometimes saying the work is published, the work is like already online, it's exists, and it's interesting that I think the platform, it's true, it's only living through when there is a, you can use it, so the when it's people interact somehow, and when it's like putting in the aside, it is always like then you can start questioning. It is archive, probably. So somehow, when the work is basically not working, it is archive. When it's actually working, it's a publishing kind. It's in a real time continuously. So we don't want our platform to be archive, because otherwise it will be not useful. So let's say.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's a demanding inside. Also, I want to make kind of a provocation on this, because we are in an archive here. This place is the archive of the Netherlands. So, that's, you know, I love this. how did you approach this place? What's your connection to this place? Why are you here? Like, it's specific or it's, you know, one of many other places that you encountered?
I think, I think Maxim can tell about a little bit more connections, how we came here specifically to this space. But our idea was from beginning to display art in every possible way. So public space, institutional, in pop-up exhibitions, in the book art fair, even if it's like a just simple computer with the monitor and small screen. So anywhere we see the screen, suddenly we saw our platform could fit in it. So somehow that was the idea of, because we wanted to be loud, we want to be seen. So we was like using platforms like Manifesta, Documenta, pavilions, and all kind of art venues to bring exactly to the places where we thought it's first necessary. And then second idea, I think it was like to go to the public space, which is was go to the people also who less interesting in art, let's say, who less connected with the art and stuff like this, and also see the reactions or talk to that public. So I think.
But I think context of archive is also very important for us, because although we kind of, or at least like pretended, we are not archivists, but no, but this topic of like being online, offline, what is kind of sustainability for the artwork is very important for us and for the artists too. And this topic is kind of, we would like to really maybe continue some collaboration with the Sound and Vision and kind of like maybe go to research and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, our vision for the archive is like live presence.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like going always live. Preserves the works maybe more than just to put them on shelves and hide them.
Yeah, sure. No, I just wanted to say that I totally agree, and it was it's just because I also like perceive it in this way, kind of anyway you need to compromise, but at least you created this kind of echo, you know, the more places you go, the more echo you make and the more you can aggregate. And also like the archive topic is still kind of also for me, I don't have a fixed idea, but what it's really important and I think it's relevant and it's working also in the practice I did and the practice I really look up to is to create connections, to create this kind of chain of events that leads to something. And to really, as you say, yeah, we need this video, but we need it now. We need it now because then it will lead to something and we don't need to stay in our bubble, you know, because we agree and we can have a really nice conversation, but it's important to go to the people that are just fed propaganda and that they are blind and they are really in a totally different world than ours. So this is, I think, what, you know, and try to be open, because sometimes I get really angry and, you know, like something like this, but I understand that the only way to really do something and to continue in this fight is to try to speak up and to be radical, but also to try to be open and, you know, forgiveful in a way. But
no, I just wanted, maybe I try to connect with this as well, because it was referred to what we were saying before about the not wanting to be an archive and wanting to be active in that sense. And I think one combination of this is this idea of living archive, so something that is not just a dead object, just there for the purpose of sometimes what, but something that can be archived in a way that can be still used and reused, right? That you were saying, the translation, it's sometimes can also be combined with that word. If we interpret the word of archive in a more radical, active way, and not just as a heritage or, you know, something that needs to be preserved for the sake of being preserved, but something can be also destroyed. and it's also fine in the sense of like, if someone reuses it and destroys it in the meantime, it's right.
Yeah.
Maybe
also,
this is the wrong place to say this, of course, but yeah.
Also, sometimes the role of the archive is also like categorizing and see like after what if like to see there's a big pictures on the archive itself, and at the moment we are not yet even thinking about to do that categorizations or be doing research from the material we have. I think that at the moment is only the how can we make it stronger on the message, how can we show it, how this could change something which is like be distributed to the wider public. So which channels which we have to use to distribute the work, distribute the message. So for us that's now priority, and this we want to stay focused at, because if we start to already like on based on something like a year of active collecting and putting messages in on a platform, publishing platform, then we start like forgetting about, and the war is like still going on, and we need actually to stay focused. Yeah.
Do you maybe, because you know we're saying this, that this is also a stage for speaking about things that are important and are urgent and relevant, maybe if you want to speak about our work lately that is really keeping you busy and that you really want to, you know, tell to the audience and spread the voice, open call, anything, this is the place, I think, to do it.
Thank you.
Donate to Ukrainian army. Give weapons to Ukraine and money. And I think actually you were mentioned that like the video should be kind of being shown to somebody who is under propaganda and this stuff, but actually our platform, our targeting groups are in Europe, in somewhere else, because we would like them to see the war and conflicts, and especially this war, not as a kind of like repetitive news feed, which is kind of like everybody already get used to, and it's kind of okay, and it's not so interesting, and nothing actually happened. But we really want that people who are not really connected to the war, they have no idea what is actually there, they have no relatives, they have no relationship to this place, they should kind of feel it or kind of get some emotional understanding. Of course, we are not focusing, like, we are not asking artists, like, please do these works which touching or whatever, or give the direct message. But we believe when artists speak, they speak, especially many Ukrainian artists who really live through this terrible war. And they have, even they talk not in direct messages, they still have this kind of like personal level of experiencing this stuff, which for European public is very kind of very difficult to grasp what is it and how it does.
But also there is like the in Berlin or some other German city, for example, there was always graffiti appearing like that's not our war, and around, and there was like the opposite. People was like crossing this, that's our war, because there is like a the energy crisis, the corn which is like delivered before to the African continent and somewhere else, so there is like ecological disasters, and so that's all related to that. So we are we can't separate from what is happening, and it's very close to the to here, to Europe, and also to the Netherlands. So there is a lot of uneasiness about, like, to just ignore it. You can't, because there is refugees, there is people, there is people even fighting for Ukraine, the ones from those countries. So there is a lot of, how would say it, it is between us. The war is already entered, let's say. It can't be avoided to say that this is somewhere else. And that's what we just wanted to point out. So there is like, it's already there. So we are already in a state of war. So now it's only about what can you say it. And that's why we try to put this message. Are you with us today? So what, how you reacted on this? You have to ask your questions about this. And that's what our motivation is. And so I'm very happy that you invite us to spread this message, and also I'm on behalf of our colleagues who cannot be here, I also want to thank them to support us, because a lot of our friends, yeah, who hope watching this, also it's an everyday fight. It was exhausting days, and it's still exhausting every day to keep going. Also for such a platform. So I think when our idea is exactly to build this more coalitions, more partners, more institutions that we can kind of be, see the fruits of this active participations in our better building societies, and also like a support for our like democratic values, and against any aggressions, and against any like craziness of this war, and like, so what can I say? It's like
No, I just want to add that we actually invite artists to participate, and we're still open for everybody just to go to our platform, just put your email and upload your video. It will be go through some like light moderation, because we don't allow everything. But and we're actually very much interested in collaboration with different organizations and curators. And so if you are somewhere, and maybe we can collaborate somehow, if you have some ideas, we are very open for different things to do something together.
So
no, right now, but I mean
I also have a question that has to do more with what we were talking about previously, but obviously encompasses like networks, platforms, dissemination of information, potential stimulation of empathy or spread of information or call to activization. Like, how do you react to, for instance, people just like sharing informational posts on Instagram, let's say, as like a form of activism? Like, is this something that you think should be encouraged or is like beneficial? Often I also hear it's like criticized, especially from like, it depends, but like mostly I was having these conversations with my friends more from Eastern Europe, who are kind of like, this is just like a kind of spoiled, low investment way of like feeling like you're making a difference, or feeling like you're, you know, in some way being like an activist by just, you know, sharing a post. Like, what do you think about these practices in the age of social media and like misinformation, but also like where these are actually also ways of like gaining reach, however it is not like an active form of like resistance?
Actually, because of that kind of position, we also want to go more offline, not staying just like being online activist. We would like to go offline and talk to people, show the people the stuff. But for many in this situation, I know like so many Russians and Belarusians who really just keep silent, which is much worse than just being online activist posting just in whatever some messages. I know the like danger and all this stuff, but still I kind of sometimes I feel I have difficulties with that, because like if you keep silent completely or you post completely like if you can't talk then just don't talk at all. But yeah, because if you're still posting some everyday life and some stuff like that, it seems like you don't care at all. And so for somebody, this kind of activism which you are talking, it is a real heroism actually to go and be exposed in this manner, because many go to jail because of even just likes, not even the post. So it depends on your situation. If you are sitting here in the comfort of being kind of like and just trying to be active online, then it's probably not enough. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That makes a lot of sense. Do you think that that has also changed in the last 3 years? Or, there's been a large move onto the, you know, like maybe mid post COVID, there's been a large move to spread of information or communication or just like communing on platforms. Do you think that 3 years ago you might have like a different answer to that, or do you think this?
Yes, definitely. I think everybody belief was that it will be ending soon. Also, everybody was doing everything then it's soon get to the end. And to same time, it's changed today because people, I think, realize that this is not things of one day, so you can't do it once and then leave it. So I think from today everybody knows that this has become a long distance and even perhaps never ending distance, so you have to go on this way. So because the wars, it's not ending only to give the territorial independence to Ukraine, it will continue elsewhere else, and it's always this danger that we produce these wars ourselves. So it's in a way, by not doing it, by anticipating to be silent to certain things, and this which allowed those things also happened in the first place. So I think we're learning from it, and I think it's a painful process, but also, I think we all understand much more from what we thought in the beginning, let's say it like those colorful revolutions in East Europe, we will become like less cheerful and become less ideal. So they are now coming to this kind of very real. So we're living now more in the real than ever before. We have all this ecological crisis and communitarian disasters, and those things is coming, and they are like, you can't just wipe them out as they not exist, and that's because we don't dealing with these things, so because we don't have solutions for this. That's why they are like so dramatically escalating. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for you. I don't want to be the last one, but.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is, I don't know, I'm really happy about this, and I think the mission is complete. Like, you know, the collaboration is still is already on. And I don't know if someone else has other questions.
Public question?
Yeah, if you want, don't be shy. Okay, I have a last question. It's kind of bright note on all this talk that's really heavy and it's really important. And it's kind of an identity question, because I noticed that your website is very, very colorful. So there is, like, it's something that, can you,
because
I know, like, you have all these colors, you know, and this is kind of a contrast to the topic that is so heavy, and it's something that we also kind of have, like, we are writing right now our manifesto, and it's called Pink Green Manifesto, because we use green screen, and because we use also pink, this really bright, you know, kind of also camp colors. There is a motivation of this, or it's random? I'm curious.
Yeah, definitely motivation. It's a statement even, because talking about very serious, very dramatic things, you don't have to be by yourself very dramatic, and otherwise you get into that kind of strange, like, being double dramatic and more, and it goes very, like, I had an experience with, because we're in Belarus, it's really huge, big tragedy. We have more than 2,000 political prisoners right now, and it's counting. And some Belarusian musicians, they do, in Europe, they do some programs, like, they make concerts and raise some money to help families of these political prisoners. And a few times I did some video projections for these concerts. And then I realized I used the portraits of the persons, and it's really kind of really serious stuff, and it's really personal tragedies for just people who are sitting for nothing in the prisons. But then together with the music, which was also very sad and kind of very deep and down, it was really unbearable. It was kind of like already everybody died, and it's end of the life, and it's kind of so depressing that it wasn't kind of like, I don't think it's a right message to be depressed and to be contrary. We have to be very bright, very strong, and very positive that we will win.
But it's also like the, before we were starting, we wanted to make a television kind for artists, and this was like a one of this coral bar of the television logo, and that's, of course, that's how it started, in a way.
Yeah. That's
so that was like the correct decision to not take it away, but leave it and adapt it to the. But in the beginning, yeah, it was thought about like a television, it's called Drazdovich TV, but, yeah. Change.
Just one TV at a time. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you very much. And really. Slava Ukraini.